Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 2022 Venice International Film Festival, and I'm here with Mark Cousins. Thank you very much for joining us, Mark.
You're welcome, Matt.
Only a couple of minutes away from the premiere screening of your new film, March on Rome. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm always very anxious about premieres, you know, because the film lives in your head and then the edit, but then you have to see if it's really alive in front of an audience.
But also, with this film, are you maybe concerned with how people will react to it? Because, you know, it is a film that deals so much with Mussolini, with fascism, with Italy's history. And at such a crucial moment in recent Italian history, there's going to be an election very soon.
Yes, I think so. I mean, this is a very serious film, you know, so there's an obligation to get it right, because fascism is one of the most important subjects. And when we started the film, we didn't quite know that we would debut at the time of this very contentious election in Italy, where the pendulum is clearly swinging to the right, or it looks if it is. So it means that the film is a sort of pressure cooker or a hot spot, I think.
From a visual point of view, though, disregarding perhaps even just the political side of things, fascism, the aesthetics of fascism, is there anything that, from a purely visual and aesthetic point of view, interests you about it?
Yeah, the fascists loved spectacle. You know, there was a kind of theatricality about fascism, not only in Italy, but in Germany, famously, and in many countries, you know, in Japan as well. So the fascists were good at imagery. You could almost say that fascism was camp in some way. We know that fascism was used to be, at least, very much about men and masculinity, you know, and if you look at someone, a poet like Gabriele D'Annunzio, you know, there's the mixture of aesthetics and masculinity and a whole bunch of kind of quite campy stuff all mixed up. And so it's worth looking at that recipe in the old fascism. But of course, the new fascism involves women as much as men.
And do you think Mussolini was a bit of an actor himself? I mean, I guess he was, because he had to act to such a large mass audience. But what do you think of his performance style?
Yeah, Mussolini called himself an artist more than a politician. He definitely was an actor. He understood all those balcony speeches that he made, you know, and the way his chin was raised and things like that. There's a real awareness of being looked at. The irony is that Mussolini, like Donald Trump and many others, loved to be looked at. They needed to be looked at, but they were very bad lookers back. When they looked into the crowd, they just saw a mass of people. They didn't see individuals with individual stories, you know, so they were very, you know, inhuman lookers, you could say.
What do you think of crowds now? Is there such a thing as a mass anymore? I mean, a lot of people talk about how we're sort of more divided with devices that are encouraging us to have a more individual experience of life. But is there still a risk that perhaps those masses that perhaps also contribute to the rise of these fascist ideals still exist and are still out there and are still taken advantage of more than anything?
Yeah, I personally always find big crowds slightly scary, you know, because there's a possibility of a kind of infection, you know, an emotional, you know, hysteria with crowds. A lot of people have written about the psychology of the masses and things like that. I mean, I believe in protest very much, but there's a real danger that when large groups of people get together, you know, something, you know, a kind of electricity runs through the crowd, and that can lead to bad stuff, you know, to violence, obviously, and also persecution.
There's a fly trying to get into our conversation, actually, right at the moment.
It's sitting on your ear for quite some time.
Yes. It's my friend. Hopefully it won't get into this this audio file. Speaking of which, this film actually has a very fascinating archival centerpiece, this film that I was not familiar with. Can you tell me a bit more about it?
Yeah, our film centers on a 1922 propaganda documentary called Annoy, directed by Paradisi. And it was made very fast. It was filmed on the March in Rome, and then it was released in cinemas soon afterwards. And it was quite influential. I think, you know, we can't prove this, but it was seen very, very widely across Italy. And it was fake news. It lied about what the March on Rome was and who was behind it, etc. You know, so it was part of the fascist propaganda. But it was also influential outside Italy. This came years before Leni Riefenstahl's documentaries about Hitler, for example. And so this was an early example of propaganda.
It is a fascinating piece, though. Later on, we see more perhaps familiar sequences. One that has remained in my mind, and somehow I had seen pictures of Mussolini hanging, yes. but I'd never seen any footage of him getting kicked in the face. That's shocking. It's yeah. kind of stayed with me.
It is shocking, and you could say that we shouldn't use footage of the, there's that fly. We could say that, is it right to use footage of Mussolini being kicked in the head? But of course it is, you know, because we have to be honest about where these things lead to. You know, where does extreme aggression and denial of the rights of minorities lead to? The chances are that you'll end up, you know, killed somehow, you yes. know. So we need to see that. And we also use a colour picture, which is rarely shown, of Mussolini and his then girlfriend and their dead bodies. And I just thought, yeah, we have to use that stuff.
And by the way, another thing is the whole act of burning down these footages, these artifacts even. This is something that has been part of the cultural debate for a while now, certainly in the past few years it has come back. What's your opinion on it?
Yeah, well, if you look at Germany, you know, all the Hitler stuff, all the Nazi stuff is gone. The buildings, the inscriptions, it's all gone. If you look at across the Soviet Union, most of the Stalin things, not everything, but is gone. But here in Italy, there's still a lot of Mussolini stuff around, inscriptions, you know, talking about power and conquest, you know. And there's no blue plaque on the side giving us context for that, you know. So I personally think that's bizarre, that there's no context, you know, that there's still a lot of the fascist inscriptions and mosaics are there untouched. And I know Italy has had this debate for many years, but they need to keep having it, because is it okay just to have all this messaging around without at least a context? I don't mean tear it down necessarily, but at least put it in context.
Absolutely. And there's people who travel to Predappio then every year to kind of have this huge celebration of the life of Mussolini. That's also a little bit frightening. That's also been part of the debate, you know. These things are kind of important to talk about, I guess, and I think you're absolutely right. So your relationship with Italy then, because I have read, but I know myself, Italy is a country that has inspired you a lot now. But I kind of just want to ask you about your first trip to Italy. When was it the first time that you came over? How old were you?
I was 18 when I first came to Italy. I was a student studying art history. And we stayed in Bologna and we took day trips to Padua, Parma, Ravenna, to Firenze. So we did all the classic hotspots of art. And I saw the Scrovegni Chapel and I saw the mosaics in Ravenna. And so it was the first time that for me that art history had come to life. And like you, I come from Ireland and we didn't have that rich visual culture. So to come to Italy and see a place, the central cultural thing was visual, you know. It was dazzling to me, you know.
What about something else? Because I have been actually researching a lot on Italian masculinity, and it seems to be that performance is such a huge part of it. For you, being 18 years old and being in Italy for the first time, and as a young man, did you feel that sense that you were part of a performance in the piazzas? You were in Bologna, so Piazza Maggiore. Did you have that feeling that there was a cultural difference in there in terms of masculinity and performance?
Yeah, I was scruffy. I thought the Italian men were all so beautifully dressed. And was it the first time I saw hair gel? I certainly didn't use hair gel, but all the men were all so beautifully dressed. They all looked as if they'd stepped out of fashion magazines. You know, obviously this is, as you say, in places like Piazza Maggiore in Bologna, and so not in the Borgata or anything like that. But still, there was a sense of, oh, men can be peacocks. Men can display themselves, you know. And where I came from, you know, it was considered dodgy to pay a lot of attention to your appearance, you know. So, of course, that was a different type of masculinity I was encountering.
And just on a personal note, just in general, have you been traveling much now? Where have you been recently?
Yeah, I've been traveling. Because of COVID, of course, everybody stopped traveling. But then I've started again. I've made a new film about a great painter called Wilhelmina Barnes Graham. So I climbed the Alps and I traveled to lots of places, and we'll be filming some of it here in Italy as well.
Oh, nice. Mark, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Best of luck with the screening.
Thank you. Grazie mille.
Grazie. Questo è Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.